You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. We're going to end with a little break from pure economics and talk about politics. The 2016 election marches on, as you've probably noticed. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are battling for voters in televised addresses, in personal appearances, in swing states, and of course, online. Social media was pretty novel in the 2008 election. It was more noticeable in 2012, but it is fully incorporated this year. Campaign staffers are tweeting speeches and polls. Candidates are hosting conversations on Facebook, and everybody is documenting everything on Instagram. Zainab Tufekci, professor at the University of North Carolina, joins us to talk about social media and the campaigns. Zainab, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I want to see how you would describe how candidates are using social media in this election cycle. I feel like we've seen them embrace memes, put policy there, a little bit of everything.
It has been fascinating. And the Clinton campaign has been using it fairly traditionally, to the degree you can say anything traditional about a medium that's basically a decade old. Mm-hmm. But she's been using it to sometimes respond and sometimes put out policy or comments. It's clearly the Trump campaign where things are a lot more interesting. For one thing, for example, I've been noticing how during the debates, other candidates during the Republican primary, all the other candidates' Twitter accounts were active during the debates. They clearly had things to say, or when they thought their candidate had something, you know, sort of tweetable, they tweeted it out, whereas Trump's was silent, which was fascinating because that indicates a personal control, which is unusual for a professional campaign, but it also gives his Twitter account a very personal voice. In fact, to the degree people have tried to reverse engineer which phone is used for tweets from Trump's own personal, either dictating or typing.
Really?
And which is professional, yes. And it's pretty clear. In fact, you can look at the metadata, and the iPhone tweets are overwhelmingly from his staff. And the Android tweets are from himself. And I hadn't noticed this because I wasn't looking at the metadata, but I was just sort of eyeballing which ones were his and which ones were staff. And I had created a list that I'd even highlighted which ones I thought were his. And then I went back to the metadata and saw that I had a almost 99% accuracy because his voice is so personal,
right,
and identifiable. What he's doing that's interesting with Twitter is that he's using it instead of polling. It's like this gut check. He puts out a message, and I think he looks at what resonates and what doesn't, because you can see themes that he picks up from Twitter come through in his rallies. And the same thing with his rallies. I was curious about him, so I attended one, and I saw how he would feel the crowd and respond to the crowd. So what you've got is a very narrowly focused campaign that is responding to social media and is responding to rally response and to some degree to media response, and not really trying to broaden beyond that.
That sort of gets to the real heart of the question, which is how important is this? Because on the one hand, it seemed like a candidate could potentially win the presidency on the strength of social media. Now it feels like maybe that it's too narrow to the point of inaccuracy in terms of responding to mainstream needs.
Well, it's obviously both. For one thing, social media is where all the journalists are very active. It might not be representative of the general population, but the politically active people, the people who report on news, the journalists and people who follow news, they tend to be more active. So it might be a good place to try to test out your messaging. It might even be a good place to see what kind of reaction you would get. Of course, if you mistake that for either a general election base, or if you sort of see something on Twitter and think, oh, this must be true, obviously that's not really going to work. Also, you see in Trump's campaign, you've seen him tweet again and again, retweet messages and memes that are coming from white supremacist Twitter accounts. So you can see that he's not either checking the source carefully, or he doesn't care that that's the kind of message he's amplifying. And hasn't seemed to have hurt him with a floor of 30, 35% of the electorate. And that's just what he seems to be focused on going to the general election with, as far as I can tell at the moment.
How much work do you think candidates need to do or will need to do sort of reconciling their Twitter personas with their public personas? You know, Trump is clearly speaking to followers. Anybody who is speaking on Twitter is speaking to people who have professed an interest. Is there a need to sort of make those two personas match?
It's harder to be different things to different people, not just because of social media, but because of the ubiquity of cameras. You might remember in the past there was this not very good tradition of candidates saying one thing in small meetings or behind closed doors and then going and saying something else publicly. Mm-hmm. And in the past decade, I've seen example again and again of a candidate being caught out by these divergences. Now, whether you know your tweeting is done personally or not is not as much of a issue, I think, because clearly there's going to be staff and there's going to be some vetting, although obviously Trump is an exception. In fact, people have taken to calling his Android phone where he personally tweets from the night phone because you can see him tweeting, you know, middle of the night and arguing with people, which is, you know, it's very personal.
Yeah.
We might not see a repeat of that. But on the other hand, no matter what you think of his views, it's pretty clear his base thinks this is who he is. And a lot of people, you know, find his views problematic. But if you put that aside for one second, the fact that he appears to have made that connection clearly helped him win the Republican primary against opponents that were much more polished. Mm-hmm. And vetted. And that, I think, is an interesting lesson. It really doesn't mean, you know, you have to be a candidate picking fights with reporters at 3 a.m. from your phone. You know, that's not obviously not the model I'm advocating for here. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot more room through this kind of medium to be more consistent and more of who you are. Because if it's not the case, then it comes out one way or another. We have so much more mm-hmm. scrutiny over candidates and their past and their statements. And I'm not sure we'll ever have a Trump again. But then again, I wouldn't have guessed this 2 years ago. So hard to know.
Very true. Zeynep Tufekci is from the University of North Carolina. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.